This one, which is possibly 180 years old, one of those that I found at Janhus Church, where they were sleeping for 50 years.
Vít Hořeš, a Czech who's been living in New York for decades, shows me some of his puppet collection at the Brooklyn studio of the Czechoslovak-American Marionette Theatre. A professional storyteller, he founded the group whose performances feature both puppets and live actors in 1990. In Today's Arts, Vít Hořeš tells us all about the origins and activities of the Czechoslovak-American Marionette Theatre.
I did a show at Janhus Church on East 74th Street. The church is still there. Even then, it had mostly American members, maybe five old ladies were Czech, but they value their Czech heritage. Anyway, I did my little show, storytelling, with three marionettes in the church, and they said, we used to have a puppet theater here, so I kept asking them what happened to the puppets until they let me go up to the attic, where in an old chest were 24 large puppets and 45 smaller puppets from a typical family theater.
Did you then begin using those puppets in your own theater group?
Well, I didn't start right away. I was at the time with Da Fantastica Blacklight Theater, so it took me a while before I quit Da Fantastica. And then I started reviving the old puppets. Our first production, of course, had to be Faust, because that's the biggest hit of the old itinerant puppeteers. So that's what we started with in 1990.
What condition were the old puppets in, the ones you found in the church, and how old were they?
They were in a pretty bad condition as far as clothes go. They had no controls and no strings on them. So we had to fix some of the costumes, some of the puppets as well. The skeleton, a typical folk marionette, had a broken jaw. So we had this wonderful man in Czechoslovakia as well make a new jaw for him. And as far as their age goes, they are, except for the toy puppets that were from the 1920s or 30s. No one knows that for sure either. The larger marionettes, the wooden ones, were about 100 years old. We took some of them to Prague to the National Museum for identification, and the lady there, Dr. Patková, told us, well, I can tell you the maker of this puppet here, this king. I can tell you approximately that this was made in the workshop of Modrian Janda, that had several different carvers working for him. But I cannot tell you about these folk puppets here. And we already thought that they might have been made here in the United States, and she confirmed that definitely she's never seen anything like that. So we decided, and later on we found some more proofs of it, that they were made in the United States by some folk carver. And those are perhaps, yet again we don't know for sure, but perhaps as old as 180 years.
Tell us about your repertoire. You already mentioned Faust. What other plays do you do, or have you done?
Well, Faust was, we started with Faust, which is a traditional puppet play, and that's what we stuck with for a little while. We did, after that, The White Doe, or Jenovefa, as it's called in Czech. And then we started doing something, these were done more or less in a traditional way, with movable backdrops and with invisible puppeteers on a bridge. But my goal always, all along, was to start mixing live people with marionettes or with puppets. And that's what we did. Eventually we went on to do productions like Gollum, which was really one big dance with both puppets and people dancing. The puppets, which are 4 feet tall, are all standing in a little cage. Each of them has a little cage, which was a design element. The whole set was these cage-like Prague spires, one of them being the old new synagogue, and each of the characters is standing in a little cage, which meant like being encaged, being imprisoned in the Prague ghetto. But they were also very practical because they were on wheels, so they gave the puppets a tremendous ability to glide around in the dance and spin around the way it would be much harder to do with manipulating such large puppets as that.
Is it the case that you've also incorporated Czech fairy tales into your repertoire over the years?
Well, some of our smaller productions are issued from my storytelling, really, based on it. And a little show like Katja and the Devil that I've been now doing for over 20 years indeed has the Czech folktale as a basis for it. Other stories like Salt Over Gold, Sůl nad Zlato, or about Vodník, the water spirit, they all are part of our work. And then eventually they became as well the basis for some of the larger productions, like 12 Iron Sandals. A production like that we did at the National Bohemian Hall when it was still a wreck, way before the renovations started.
Who does your audience tend to be? Are they Czech, Slovak, American, adults, children?
Most of our productions are for adults. Of course, parents always bring children. We've done a production of Hamlet, which is definitely for adults, and people bring three-year-olds who, surprisingly enough, can take even something like that. As far as nationality, it's hard to tell. Of course, there is a portion of our audience that are Czechs and Slovaks, other Slavic nationalities. There's quite a few Russians that come to our shows, Poles, but the bulk of our audience are just Americans who either like puppet theater or like our theater. There's people who return just because they know us and they want to see more of our work.
Have you ever gone on tour, so to speak, to the Czech Republic or Slovakia with the theater group?
We twice went to the Czech Republic, now Slovakia. First one was the Skupa Festival in Plzeň, or Pilsen. We went there with our production of Rusalka, the Little River Maid, which is based on Dvořák's opera, but it actually is based on Dvořák's opera as if it was produced by Dvořák's students. Dvořák taught in the United States, and his favorite students and students that he said would be the future American composers were blacks. He really thought they would be composing symphonies and operas, and they did become American composers, but in a totally different idiom than Dvořák imagined. So we follow that train of thought and had three arias from the opera Rusalka, and then some jazz music and rock music to really show the different where the Dvořák students would go with the play. We went to the Pilsen Festival with this show, and then we played it in Prague as well. And then in 2004 we went to the Prague Shakespeare Festival, where we performed at the Prague Castle, the Lord Chamberlain's palace courtyard, which was really wonderful because to be performing in front of a 14th century wall for a set was just an unforgettable experience.